Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Abundance Allure. First, I want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there who are listening and all of those who may have served in the capacity of a father in some way. You were a big brother to your siblings. You were a mentor. You were an uncle to your nephews, or you were just a really good friend that had to guide someone. So happy Father's Day to all of you, whether you gave birth to them or not. Happy Father's Day to you. And now I want to talk about this story that I'm about to share with you kind of relates to that, but not necessarily. I'm about to share with you regarding my experiences with rejection and how I overcame that rejection. And that was something that used to be really hard for me. It's one of the main reasons that I delayed so many projects that I had been working on for so long. And every time I came to this part of my story, I would make an excuse as to why I could not write about it or really speak about it. And once again, I'll just kind of put things on hold. But lately, and even more so as Father's Day began to approach, the need for me to share this story has been coming at me left and right. There were all kinds of hints and subliminal messages to make sure that I get it done. And those things have been overwhelming. So now that I'm thinking about it, perhaps one of the reasons that I have been feeling stuck was because of my unwillingness to really share this information. In the Message Bible, in the book of Esther in 4:14, it says that if you persist in staying silent at a time like this, help and deliverance will arrive for the people from someplace else, but you and your family will be wiped out. Who knows? Maybe you were made queen for such a time as this. Thank you. I needed that. That's what I mean about a lot of the messages and hints were coming at me, that now I needed to talk about this and to really get this out. So as we celebrate Father's Day, I feel like now is the appointed time. And I realize that this story that I'm about to share is not just for me or even about me. It's not even about the people who are a part of the story, but it is in fact about you, the person who is listening to this Abundance Allure podcast right now by divine appointment as part of your divine assignment. So let's dive in. Welcome to another episode of Abundance Allure, the audio diary where I, along with my seasoned sisters from all walks of life, can discuss topics that speak to matters of our hearts as they relate to attracting and receiving life in all of its abounding joy and strength for our spirit, soul, and body. I am your host, Abundance Nisi. Okay, just to get started and just really put it out there, for a long time in my life, I felt rejected by men, any man, it didn't matter. And it started with my biological father, who from this point on I'll call Bio Dad, which I shared a little bit about in episode 2 of this podcast. He's never really been a part of my life, and I say never really because he has been there for a few things that I can literally count on one hand, but he has never been there for me when it mattered the most. And I think that kind of set in motion my fear of being rejected by other men. My parents had me when they were young. My mother was 18 and my bio dad was just shy of his 20th birthday. They never married. And in fact, my bio dad went on to marry someone else shortly after my birth. And my mother met my stepfather when I was 9 months old. And he's the man whom I've called dad all my life. So back to my bio dad, because he never really wanted to be a part of my life, I always felt like there was something wrong with me. Like maybe I wasn't good enough, or maybe I lacked something. I will often ask myself questions like, what's wrong with me? Why can't he love me like he loved his other kids? If I'm the child who looks so much like him, then why doesn't he want to be a part of my life? I would always just ask myself like a million and one questions. And the questions were endless, but the answers were pretty much non-existent. And this was a real struggle for me ever since I can remember. And to this very day, some of those same questions try to sneak up on me again and again, but I won't let them because I'm much stronger than I was in time past. So, no, it doesn't have the same effect anymore. Now, as a child, my bio dad came to see me. He never really came to see me participate in any of the activities that I was involved in. I rarely saw him, and the only reason that I was able to see my siblings back then was because we went to the same school. Well, some of us did. As a teenager, I remember him coming around every now and then, usually when he needed a temporary place to stay for a week or two. And then he would be gone again, and we would hear nothing from him for a long period of time. So as an adult, he's just a no-show altogether. I mean, I haven't seen him in over 10 years now, I know. But I do still have a relationship with my sisters and brothers. And in fact, one of them literally lives around the corner from me, just minutes away. I remember vividly, there was one occasion that it seemed like it was just yesterday. And so here's kind of what happened. A few months after my wedding, my bio dad came by to visit. And this was just after my 21st birthday, and it was all just more of the same, making small talk, you know, shooting the breeze as we always had, you know, we've done over the previous 20 years. So, but then he said something to me about my wedding that I'll never forget, and I'll never forget my response to it either. And here's what he said. Your daddy was supposed to give you away at your wedding. And I stopped, and I looked. And I just kind of sat there and just kind of looked at him for a minute because, you know, that whole statement just kind of floored me a little bit. And I'm thinking to myself, like, really? Really? You really want to take it there after you've never been there for me, never supported me in any way, financially or otherwise, and never been a daddy to me in any shape, form, or fashion? Really? Are we really going to take it there? And I mean, you know, the thoughts were coming a lot faster than I could even keep up with. But I kept quiet, you know, out of respect. I just kept quiet. And I thought about it for a minute because I didn't want to respond in a rude or disrespectful way because I would never disrespect either one of my parents ever. So I responded in a way that wasn't meant to be mean, but truthful. And I simply said, my daddy did give me away. And I was referring to my stepfather, who even after he and my mom split when I was 8 years old, he was still very much a part of my life. And when I said that, my bio dad just gave me this look like I had just purposefully hurt his feelings to the core. And so he just made the decision to get up and leave out of the house. He didn't say anything to anyone. There was a room full of people and they all just kind of looked. He said nothing to no one. He just left. He got in his car and he just drove away. So needless to say, our relationship was even a bit more strained after that. And I can go on and on about the strain of that relationship, but that's not what the message of this story is or today's topic. The message is that because I felt rejection from him, this caused me to fear rejection in all of my past relationships with men. There was always this fear that they would eventually turn their backs on me and leave. So in the back of my mind, my go-to gut reaction was to leave them first. And that has been the case with just about every romantic relationship that I've ever been in, including my marriage. I got married at an early age. It was, like I said, it was just before my 21st birthday. My ex-husband and I, we actually started dating in high school, and you know, we cared for each other. But when I look back, I don't believe that we were like really in love with each other. In my opinion, and I'm just speaking for myself because I can't really speak for him, but in my opinion, I think we got married out of fear. Fear that one of us would leave to be with someone else, or fear that someone else would get what we had fought so hard for. And this is not meant to be a bad reflection on either one of us, especially him, because he is a great guy and we remain friends even now. And we separated after 3 years, tried again for a brief time, and then we finally got divorced after 7 years of marriage. And a lot of what happened were my issues, going back to the fear of not being good enough for a man to truly love me because my bio dad didn't. Fear of him leaving me for someone else. Fear of not finding someone else if things didn't work out with us. fear that something bad would happen if I truly opened my heart to love him and allow him to love me. I didn't know this back then, but there was a lot of fear, and I'm not afraid to admit that now. From that moment on, the course of my life was set for other relationships. They all pretty much ended the same way. Me leaving them, most times without even so much as a goodbye, leaving them to just wonder, like, what in the world happened? Like, she just cut me off. And I'm not proud of it. I'm not saying this at all to, you know, out of pride or to say that, you know, I had it going on this and that. That never. I struggled with this. The turning point for me, what I thought was a turning point, was back in 1998 when I attended a church singles retreat. It was during this event that God really began to deal with me on this fear of being rejected. He cut open the wounds, and there were many, and he exposed all the lies of the enemy within me. He showed me that it was my own reasoning and fear that caused me to live in such a way that I was closed off to love, closed to what God was trying to show me when it came to me giving and receiving love, closed to letting anyone near me emotionally or soulfully. They were all there physically, but that was as close as I would allow anyone to get. And after this revelation, while still at this retreat, I decided that I wanted to see my bio dad just to give him a hug. No words need to be said, just hugs. Here again, God was exposing all of the wounds and all of the lies of the enemy. So I wanted to see him and just give him a hug. I was such an emotional wreck at that time that I don't think I had any words to say anyway. So I prayed and asked God to just make it happen. Now here's the part that just like began to blow me away. As I was driving home from the retreat, I received several phone calls from my half-sister. I didn't answer the phone because I just wanted to savor the moment of all that happened at that retreat. But after the third or the fourth call, I decided to answer it, praying that nothing was wrong because she never called me that many times back to back like that. But what she called to tell me was just awesome, and just God just blew my mind at that point. And I'll tell you all about it and what happened after this quick break. Okay, still with me? So here's what happened that really just blew my mind. God is just so awesome. My bio dad, who was not even living in the same city as we were at that time, just happened to be in town that day. He just happened to be in town that day. I prayed and asked God to make it happen that morning, and he came to town that day. Neither one of us, my sister or I, had any idea that he was coming, but lo and behold, here he was. My sister told me that when he got there, with there being at one of his cousin's house, he told her to call me because he wanted to see me. Now, I cannot remember for sure, but I don't think that we had not seen or spoken to each other since that exchange about my wedding. And that was like back in 1987. And at that time, it had been many, many years. And so this happened like in 98. So at that time, it had been around 11 years or so. And heck, I had even gotten divorced by then. So that's how much time had passed. So needless to say, after that emotional weekend at the retreat and my father, who just happened to be in town on that same day that I was returning from the retreat, God had my full attention. So instead of going straight home, I drove over to my dad's cousin house, my bio dad's cousin house, where he was. And I told my sister not to tell him that I was coming because I wanted to surprise him. But of course, she couldn't keep it to herself because he kept asking her if she was able to reach me by phone. He just kept asking. So as I was driving over there, I was just, you know, giving God all the praise and all the glory. I was like, God, you're so awesome. You move fast. This happened quick. You know, so just driving along, giving him the praise. And as I approached the neighborhood, I called my sister again because I wasn't sure which house to go to. And I needed for her to guide me in that subdivision because it was a huge subdivision. And she must have told my bio dad that I was almost there because as I was driving down the street, I saw him standing outside on the curb waiting for my car to get there. And my eyes began to fill up with tears all over again. I had been crying all morning, all the way home, all the way over to his cousin's house, you know, just a waterhead. And so my eyes began to fill up with tears again. I tried to contain myself because none of them knew about the weekend that I had just had and the spiritual surgery that I just had with God. So I tried to control the tears. And as I approached the curb, my bio dad, he came around to the driver's side of the car to open the door. And as he was doing that, I could hear him saying, "There's my baby." And he was just repeating it over and over and over again. And then he just grabbed me for one of the biggest and longest hugs that he had ever given me in my life. The thing that I had prayed and asked God for was the first thing that happened when I saw him. And so, you know, there it was, that hug that I wanted from him, that I asked God for, that while I was at that retreat. No words escaped from my mouth. I was so full that I couldn't even say anything. Tears were just strolling. They were just all over the place. And it was just, you know, this hug. It was just the comfort of that hug. And let me tell y'all, there was forgiveness all in that hug. That hug was forgiveness. And I didn't have anything to do with making it happen. All I needed to do was just pray and ask God for it and then show up when he orchestrated it all. That's all I needed to do. And he made it happen. And I knew that because he had made it happen, I knew I needed to do my part, which was just forgive. Forgive, you know, my bio dad, forgive myself for all the things that had caused me to feel all this rejection from, you know, different men and everything. So there was a lot of forgiveness that needed to happen within myself. And so everything was in that hug. And I cannot begin to tell y'all how that entire weekend just changed my whole life. It changed my relationship with my bio dad. It changed my relationship with men. It changed the way I felt about myself. It changed how I saw myself. And it definitely changed my relationship with God. At that point, I knew that there was nothing too hard for God, that he would make even the hardest thing possible. Because here again, we didn't even live in the same city, but God orchestrated that thing so fast. I mean, it was, and suddenly, and there he was in the same city that I was in as I was coming from this retreat. And so it was just amazing. It was just amazing. And you would think that everything would be totally okay after that, right? But as time went on, you know, some of my old issues kind of a little bit crept back in. A lot of my old thinking patterns and some of those old, same old beliefs began to resurface as it pertained to my relationship with some men. And because of that, I found myself in relationship with a type of men who kind of reinforced those old beliefs of being abandoned and rejected. They were kind of emotionally unavailable. You know, those kind who were like selfish, or men who were afraid of commitment themselves, or, you know, who just didn't know what their own issues were. They had never really stopped to really think about what their own issues were. So found myself, you know, back in those type of relationships again. So I had to stop and really begin to examine myself again. And I tell you, God showed me some more things about myself. When you ask God to show you you, let me just say this. When you ask God to show you you and to really open up and expose the wounds and show you the real nitty-gritty of what is going on with you and what needs to be healed to make you whole, please be prepared for what he shows you, because it's not pretty. It will make you have the ugly cry, but it is a good thing, because once you move past it, you're like, okay, thank you, God. Thank you for showing me, you know, that I needed to, you know, expose this move on, you know, let it heal and then move on from that. So that's what I did. And it's definitely true that, you know, what they say, because of who I was at that time and some of those old issues kept coming up, that I attracted exactly what I was. And that will happen. You know, you attract exactly what you are. And that's a real thing. So my paradigm had to switch back from its old patterns back to, you know, the surgery that took place on that weekend. So, and I had to continue to do the work on that. So because of those relationships and those previous issues that I had with the fear of being rejected, that they were able to creep right back in, I knew I still had more work to do. And so before that happened, you know, there were times when, you know, the first sign of trouble would come along and here I would, you know, I would go running again and just end relationships before they even had, you know, could tell me that, you know, there was nothing wrong or whatever. I would just run. My go-to method for dealing with being rejected was to just run. I'm gonna leave you before you leave me. So I was a runner. But, you know, I had to get past that. I had to let God really show me what was happening and to really, really deal with me on those things. And up until about 2010, I kind of, you know, really began to like, okay, I'm just going to cut off any relationships right now and just really let God just do whatever he needs to do on me to expose those, all those wounds, and not just with the feeling of being rejected, but a lot of other things that he had to really come in and clean out. He had to gut it out, and I had to allow him to do it. So in 2010, I ended my last relationship the same way that I had previously, no phone call or anything. It was a relationship that I had been in for about 3.5 years, on again and off again with that same person. And then one day I was just like, you know what? This is not it. I mean, there was no place for this to go. And I already knew what the end of that relationship would be. I'd already seen it coming. And I knew that it would not go, you know, go forward. So I ended it. And I think we both knew that it was over because neither one of us tried to reach out and contact the other one after that day. And I knew that a lot of my fears were involved, and I can't really say what his reasons were, but you know, it ended. It was, and from that day to this one, I have not seen that person again. So when God cuts it off, he cuts it off. And so all of this occurred during the time that I made the decision to just go full speed ahead of walking in God's purpose for my life, leaving behind jobs, material things, and relationships. And after that last relationship, I knew that I needed to take some time away from dating or really being involved with anyone until I could work out all the things that were going on with me. I needed to come to terms with the fact that God says that I'm better than all right, that he says that I'm lovable because he loves me. He says that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and here fearfully meaning, you know, respectfully. I needed to know this within myself without any kind of validation from any man, including my bio dad. And I needed to know that no matter what, that I am capable of opening my heart to give love and to receive love from a man who would love me unconditionally without fear, who loves God with his whole heart, and he would love me just as Christ loved the church. I needed to know this without any doubts whatsoever. And by the grace of God, after 53 years on this earth, I get it. I get it. Now, as for my bio dad, he and I still don't communicate as much as I like. I haven't seen him, like I say, in a few years, more than 10 years now. I know it's been a while. So, and basically, if I don't reach out to him, then we don't speak. He never makes the effort to contact me. And so I just made the decision not to make the effort anymore, to just let it be. That weekend was what it was. And so I just left it at that. in that weekend, there was forgiveness. And so I wanted it to remain at that. I just surrendered it to God without any ill feelings whatsoever. I just had to let it go. And as a matter of fact, I began to look at my relationship with him from a different perspective, which was that God just used him to get me here. That's all he was needed for. His seed was needed for my existence. Nothing more, nothing less. His chapter in my story was done, and my stepdad's chapter began. And I still love him because he is my father, but I cannot allow the remnants of our relationship to continue to affect my romantic relationship with a loving man of God. And I cannot allow the remnants of that relationships to affect my relationship with anyone, especially God. I did the work to be okay with it. And I am. I really am. I am okay. I believe in removing anything that's a detractor to make room to attract what is needed in my life. And so I choose not to hold on to unforgiveness, which is a detractor. I choose to walk in forgiveness. And after that weekend, and even every year that has passed since then, I remain, in a forgiven state, that I have forgiven him. I have forgiven all other relationships. And right now, to this day, I can honestly say that I have no ill feelings toward anyone, any man, woman, child, whatever, no one. See, that wound of rejections was the opening for the power of resurrection to enter into my life. I realized that the rejection was not only divine protection, but it was also divine resurrection. The revelation that God was always there, even in what I perceived to be rejection, was the purest form of an awakening moment for me. This was an area in my life that I needed to surrender fully and completely. I knew that if I didn't do that, then my life would be hindered from entering the promised land and receiving the promises that God had for me, plans that were made specifically for me. So to me, there was no other option except to surrender to the resurrecting power that was already within me. And even as I'm sitting here recording this podcast, I realized that this fear expanded beyond just romantic relationships, but it spewed all the way over. It spewed all the way over into the way that I was with just about all of my relationship friendships as well. I never really had a lifelong girlfriend or a lifelong BFF, as some would call it. Never. I will only allow people to get so close, and then I would kind of pull back, just kind of, things would just fizzle out with them as well. And even as I'm recording this and I'm just being very transparent, I really have no close friendship now. I have my family and I have a couple of girlfriends, but none that are like really, really close. I have some acquaintances who I communicate with mostly through social media and maybe a few who I share a phone call or a text message with every few months or so. But that's about the extent of those relationships. Some of them needed to be fed with a long-handled spoon because of their constant antics. But others were good friendships until they just kind of fizzled out. And that has always been the turn that my friendships have taken. I don't know why, but it just happened that way. And maybe it's because, now that I'm thinking about it, maybe it's because I'm a little quirky in my own way. So, yeah, I think I'll stick to that. Yeah, sounds good to me. So, here again, I am in a good space mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and that is what matters most to me. I am not a loner, and I have really good relationship with my family. I love everybody, and I can honestly say here again that I have no ill feelings toward anyone. And I desire to keep it that way because I truly live by what you vibe out, you vibe in. So I'm always checking on my own vibes, and I refuse to let anyone have me in any other state. So what about you? Tell me about you. Have you ever feared being rejected? If so, have you given much thought to where it originated from in your life? And have you experienced the power of resurrection within? So here's my tip for you for this episode. Do the work to release yourself from thoughts, habits, and actions that no longer serve you. If you need to make amends with someone, whether it's a parent, a child, another family member, a friend, a coworker, or whoever it is, allow God to do the work that is necessary to move you forward. Allow Him to awaken you to the resurrecting power that is needed so that you can go higher. You cannot move to the next level until you master the one that you're currently on. So that's part of my story, and I'm glad that you took the time to listen. And I hope that you were able to take something away from it, that something in this part of my story resonated with you, because that's what this podcast is all about. We're here for each other and for me to be able to tell my story in such a way that I hope that it helps someone. If it helped just one person, then praise God, then it has the desired effect. So thank you for listening. I appreciate you. And remember, vibe out, vibe in. Check your vibe right now, because my vibe is on point. I'm good. So I'll talk to you soon. Bye now. We've come to the end of another episode of Abundance Allure. Be sure to check me out on Instagram at Abundance Niecy and on Twitter at Abundance Allure. Thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to give it a thumbs up and to hit the subscribe button for notifications of when new episodes are uploaded. Remember, vibe out, vibe in. Check your vibe. Hello, my Abundance Allures. Welcome back to episode 6 of the Abundance Allure podcast. On this podcast, I speak a lot about vibration and to make sure that you check yours. The tagline of the podcast is vibe out, vibe in, check your vibe. So on today's show, I want to talk about what that actually means. People have asked me, like, what did I mean by that? So today I'm going to answer that. My goal here is to keep it simple enough for you to understand without having to go and research it a little bit more, unless you want to, of course. I'm going to keep it in layman's terms. So if you want more scientific terms, then you're going to have to go and do a little Googling and research yourself and study up on quantum physics to understand the science of it completely. So let's get ready to dive in and talk about what it means to vibe out, vibe in, check your vibe. All right, we're going to talk about vibe out and vibe in and what it means to check your vibe. But before we do that, I just have to know, did you all watch the BET Awards and Tyler Perry's acceptance speech? When I tell you that in that speech, he took it to a whole nother level and it was so powerful. He definitely set the bar in that speech. He definitely made everyone want to level up in that acceptance speech. It was so powerful. I didn't actually watch the BET Awards, but I did get a chance to hear his speech because, yeah, it's all over the internet. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to it, please, please go back and find it on the internet, because it's definitely out there and it is definitely something powerful. Talk about good vibrations. That was exactly what I know I needed to hear. So maybe it'll have the same effect on you. All right, so let's go ahead and dive in. Let's start by talking about what is the law of attraction, because vibe out and vibe in has a lot to do with what the law of attraction is and the law of vibration. So the law of attraction simply states that like attracts like. It's as simple as that. That's why I say you are abundance magnets, that a magnet draws to itself something that's very similar and it attracts it and it sticks to it. So the law of attraction is like attracts like. It's simply put, whatever you put out is what you receive back. And by putting out, I mean by what you think, what you feel, and what you speak. Those are all part of the asking portion of the law of attraction. So the law of attraction is asking, believing, and receiving. And I go a little bit more into that in my book, Ask, Believe, Receive, the Law of Attraction or a Biblical Principle. I really just lay it out in there. But to keep it simple here is what you think, what you feel, and what you speak. So we're going to talk about those things because all of those things are definitely what you vibe out, whether you believe it or not, or whether you realize it or not, or whether you are aware of it. What you think has a vibration. What you feel has a vibration. And the words that you speak have a vibration. It's really a scientific principle that states that energy or vibration that you put out is going to come back to you. See, in the Bible, it's known as seed time and harvest, or sowing and reaping. And a couple of scriptures that you can take a look at for that is, one is Genesis 8:22 that says, "For as long as the earth lasts," or the earth remains, "planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." And in Galatians, it says, "Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. Whatever a man plants, that he will also reap." He will get a harvest from it. So in layman's term, it's just simply karma. Whatever you choose to call it is not really important. Just know that it's a basic principle and it's all the same. It applies to everyone. So believe it or not, what you think, what you feel, and what you speak send out vibrational energies to bring more of those same things back to you. Years ago, when I first heard about the law of attraction, I was not really ready to receive it. My way of thinking was that if it did not use scriptural references, because you know I love my scriptures, and they had to be plain and simple to me, then if it didn't have that, then I would not accept it. So I just kind of rejected it. I thought that by accepting what I perceived to be a new age concept was somehow rejecting God's word. My mind was telling me that I could not just attract what I wanted and that this was all some kind of mumbo jumbo. You know how we do. You know what we think. I was not necessarily in that spiritual place or spiritual maturity back then, like where I am now. And besides, it wasn't what I learned in Bible study as I was growing up. So my prayer is that in this episode, that as we begin to link things together and link together this concept of this principle of vibrational law, as it is in the Bible, that I pray that you receive an understanding of what this is saying, that how this applies to your everyday life. And I'm going to give you scriptural references because, like me, I need my scriptural references to know that this is of God. And a lot of people don't want to believe that the law of attraction is a principle of God, but it is. And here again, I lay it all out in my book, Ask, Believe, Receive, Law of Attraction or Biblical Principles. So it's all in there. The law of attraction is a biblical principle. So, as I do on most of my episodes, I will reference the Message version of the Bible. Now, please hear me. I am in no way diminishing the faith of anyone else because the Bible says that God is. It's as simple as that. In his word in Exodus 3:14, he says, "I am that I am." That just means he's whoever you know or whoever you profess him to be through whatever your faith or your belief system is. It is my intent to share what I have learned and that you will seek guidance for yourself from God as to how these same principles coincide with your faith, because this is universal law. The law of attraction and the law of vibrations are universal law, and they are ones that he put in place across the board, meaning that it works for all of us, whether we believe it or not. No matter what our belief system is, it applies to everyone. And so I'm going to define some words for you so that we're all on the same page here. And This is not to slight anyone's intelligence because we're all smart people. But in fact, it's just the opposite. I want to provide a clear understanding to those who may not know the definition or understand what I'm saying as it relates to the overall context of the show. See, my intent, because I believe in being intentional about everything, my intent is to increase your level of understanding. That's the mission that I've accepted from God, to provide information with simplicity so that it may be understood clearly and that it may be applied in your life every single day. So let's go ahead and start talking about some of those words. We're going to concentrate on three words here. We're going to talk about energy, vibration, and magnetic. So what is energy? It's the strength and vitality required for sustained physical or mental activity. It is the ability to exert pulls or pushes against the basic forces of nature along a path of certain strength. And that's a definition that I got from the dictionary. But it's the ability to exert pull or pushes against the basic forces of nature along a path of certain length. Now let's talk about vibration. Vibration is a person's emotional state, the atmosphere of a place, or the association of an object as communicated to and felt by others. That's why you can tell when someone has good energy, or you can tell when someone has bad energy without them ever opening their mouths to speak a word, because their body, their state that they're in, what they're feeling at that time, the energy is just flows out of them, and you can feel it. You can feel it, and vice versa, they can feel when those same energies or vibrations are coming from you. So that's why I say check your vibe. And magnetic. Magnetic is the ability to attract or draw towards. That's why you are abundance magnets. So let's go ahead and talk about nature and natural laws. I mentioned before that the law of vibration and the law of attraction are universal or natural laws. And I'm going to mention a couple of them, but we're only going to concentrate on one or two. And that's the law of vibration and the law of attraction. So what is a natural law? It is a system of law that is determined by nature and in which everything in the universe is governed. It refers to the use of reason to analyze human nature and deduce binding rules of moral behavior from it. Now, no one really knows exactly how many universal laws there are, but you can search for them on the internet, because it's all out there. Just go and Google it. But so what is the law of vibration? Everything in the universe moves and vibrates. Everything is vibrating at one speed or another. Nothing actually rests. It's always moving. Everything else you see around you is vibrating at one frequency or another, and so are you. You are always vibrating. If you pull your hand out and just look at your hand, it's never really still, and if you look close enough, you'll see that it's constantly, there's a little quiver there, and that's because you're always vibrating. So remember that the law of vibration is everything in the universe is always moving or vibrating at one speed or another. Nothing rests. So what is the law of abundance? The universe is filled with abundance of everything you can imagine. Abundance is everywhere and it is unlimited. And I believe this with my whole heart. And that's where I get my name, Abundance Niecy, from, and the title of this podcast, Abundance Allure. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that story on another episode, how all of that came to be. And there's another universal law, well, there are a couple of more that I just want to mention to you. But there's the law of cause and effect, It's the universal law that says whatever you send into the universe comes back. Your action is a cause and your reaction is an effect. And then there's the law of polarity, that everything has an opposite, like good versus bad, up versus down, right versus wrong, or left versus right, etc., etc., etc. You get what I'm saying here. Everything has a polarity. Even batteries, you notice when you have to put a battery in something and it requires more than one, then they have to be at polar opposites. Like one end has to have the positive side, but right next to it, the other battery has to be turned the other way. And so they have to be polar opposite. That's because of the law of polarity. So let's dive a little bit more into the law of attraction. You attract whatever it is that you think and feel strongly about, whether it's good or bad. This law has become the most popular in recent year and the most talked about universal law since the release of the book and the movie The Secret back in, I believe it was 2006 when that came out. Since that time, there have been countless number of books and CDs and DVDs on the market, all explaining this phenomenon that took the country by storm. I purchased that book years ago during the time that it was released, but I never really read it until God piqued my interest about it, which was several years later after it had come out. I told you in the Ties That Bind episode that I used to be a self-help junkie, so yes, I soaked all of this law in too. There are plenty more universal laws out there, so if you want to know more, just go on and Google a lot of them and find out more about what they actually mean. However, back to the one that we're going to talk about today, that is the law of vibration. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. Okay, let's go ahead and dive in. Remember that the law of vibration is defined as a person's emotional state, the atmosphere of a place, or the associations of an object as communicated to and felt by others. A subtle vibration is different in that it is perceived by feeling or emotion rather than physically heard or seen. A thought forms a subtle vibration. A thought can form a subtle vibration. Some will refer to these subtle vibrations as energy vibration. Although you cannot see or hear them, they are actually the most frequent vibrations that occurs. Again, you've heard it all before, that you can pick up on people's good vibes or bad vibes, or you can relate to someone because you'd be like, I like this person's energy. They have good energy, or, you know, yeah, I'm not feeling their energy. So we've all done it. It's just something that just happened because we can tell. Every person is giving off a vibrational signal, whether it's good or bad. And if you're close enough, within close enough distance, you can actually feel that energy or feel those vibes from them. Their body is emanating whatever they are feeling or thinking at that time. Feelings are vibrations. They are like adding fuel to the fire. So when you associate feelings to your thoughts, you're now adding the spark that makes your thoughts ignite and will result in manifestation. Your feelings, just like your thoughts, produce energy and send out vibrational signals that attract matching signals and return them right back to you. That is why I'm always saying, check your vibe and what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling. I have to make sure that it's on point with what I want to come back to me. So that's why I tell you to do the same thing. Remember that what you vibe out, you will vibe in back to you. So always check your vibes. Now let's talk about those thoughts. Did you know that each person has an average of about 60,000 thoughts per day? Huh? Were you aware of that? Well, that's what science tells us. So, and I believe it, because a lot of times you can have thoughts just running through your mind. If you stop to think about it, you'd be like, where did that come from? I mean, just weird thoughts too. And that's because we're always thinking. It's a vibration. We always move. So our mind is always moving. 60,000 thoughts per day. But not every one of those thoughts will manifest, and that's a great thing. However, the thoughts that you think about the most and focus on repeatedly are the ones that do see the light of day in your life, because the more you have those particular thoughts and you begin to feel some kind of way, the more you are sending out those vibrational signals for those particular thoughts. There are usually some kind of emotions associated with those thoughts. Emotions like love, hate, happiness, sadness, guilt, anger, excitement, worry, shame, jealousy, envy, on and on and on. And the more you have a focused thought about something and the more you feel those emotions with that thought, the more you will attract into your life whatever it is you've been focusing on. That's why the Bible tells us to be careful of the feelings that we allow into our hearts, for they are far more important than we may realize. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, "To guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." Let me read that to you again. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." In the Message version, it says, keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Our emotions are seeds that we sow and receive a like harvest from them. In Proverbs 3:13 in the Amplified version, it says, "Happy, blessed, fortunate, and enviable is the man who finds skillful and godly wisdom, and the man who gets understanding, drawing it forth from God's word and life experiences." And in Proverbs 17:22 in the Amplified version, it says, "A happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing, but a broken spirit dries up the bones." It's telling you right here in that passage that a happy heart, good vibrations, is good medicine, and a cheerful mind, good thoughts, works healing. But a broken spirit can dry up the bones. So always be mindful of what you're thinking and you're feeling. Always, always check your vibe. Go ahead. Stop what you're doing right now. Check your vibe. What are you feeling? What are you thinking? What are you feeling right now? What are you thinking? I remember one time I read this book titled Infinite Possibilities, and it was written by this guy named Mike Dooley. And there was a passage in there about emotions that I want to share with you. In that passage, it says, "Our emotions color our every experience. Without them, what would matter? Nothing. If it weren't for emotions, what would we pursue? What would motivate us? What will we care about? Nothing. Our emotions are rich with rewards and lessons, and the good ones are worth slogging through the bad ones to receive those benefits. Emotions give our lives meaning and reason." So go back to that first line and say, "Our emotions color our every experience." I want to take that a step further and say that our emotions come from a place of experience. And by that, I mean somehow, some way, we've had an emotion that was tied to a particular experience. When you think back on that experience, some sort of feeling would emerge from within you, whether it was good or bad, happy or sad. That experience is embedded in your mind and in your heart, and it lets you know how to feel every single time you think about it. If the experience was good, if it produced good emotions in your heart, then you should hold on to that because you want to feel more of that and bring more of those same feelings into your life. However, if those experiences were not so good and you had bad feelings as a result of thinking about them or something similar to them, then you should release them and go ahead and let them go. Those bad feelings will only cause you to experience more of the same, even if the experience is different or with different people. It was about what you felt during that experience. So let me give you an example. A relationship that is filled with lots of love and laughter and fun times and trust and faithfulness will make your heart flutter and make you feel excited and put joy in your soul, right? You know about this experience, whether you've had it, whether you've seen it, heard about it, or even read about it. The point is, you know that there's a good feeling associated with this kind of relationship. On the other hand, on the flip side of that, a relationship that is filled with arguments and unfaithfulness, distrust, mistrust, crying, sadness, no peace, will make it hard to trust and make you angry, sad, depressed in all other relationships. So whether you've experienced this firsthand, or if you've seen it, heard it, heard about it, or read about it, you are familiar with the bad feelings that are associated with that type of relationship. The point is, even if you do not want to experience that again, if you continue to associate those feelings with that type of relationship, you will only attract more of the same to you, because every time you feel those bad feelings, that is what you will draw to you. So to sum it up, whatever feelings you associate with an experience and you continue to have those feelings about that experience, you will continue to attract those same type of experiences. That is why we typically attract the same kind of person into our lives. Different names, but still the same. If you want to attract the good life and good things into your life, then let good brew within your heart. Your feelings should be in alignment with all that is right. Be in a place of righteousness with your mind and in your heart, and that will most certainly bring all of the right things into your life. Try to avoid those bad feelings. Try to avoid those bad people or things that affect your mood, for these things will just draw to you more of the same, the things that you really don't want. Some examples of those feelings, those bad feelings that you should try to avoid, are shame and guilt and anger and sadness, fear and grief and jealousy. Yes, my lures, this means not waking up to the news every morning, not going to bed every night to the news, not watching the news or social media all day long, because you feel some type of way about it. You watch the news and you feel bad, even if it has nothing to do with you directly or nothing to do with anyone in your family directly. You watch it just because you've gotten in the habit of watching it. And as I heard some people say, because they have to know what's going on. And then they feel some type of way when they watch it. Well, you're just going to draw more of the same to you. And bad energy and bad feelings affect you physically. Hear me, people. The mental state that you're in, the emotional state that you're in, will begin to affect your physical body. That is why you have to be careful what you allow into your eyes, into your ears, into your mind, and into your heart. The Bible says to guard your heart. Guard it, people, because it does have a physical effect on you as well as a mental and an emotional effect on you. Also, if you're following someone on social media, make you feel some kind of way, they affect your mood when you see what they've posted, then simply unfollow them. Stop following them if they're going to make you feel some kind of way about yourself. Just unfollow them. It's no big deal. You want to feel good about yourself. You want to feel good about everything that you want to attract in your life. You want to feel good, plain and simple. So unfollow those folks, especially if, here again, if they make you feel bad about yourself because you're watching their glamorous life because they're doing it for the gram or doing it for Facebook. Just unfollow them, because Everybody lives the perfect life on social media. Everybody. You can post on there that you have the perfect life. But, you know, just keep it simple. Unfollow those people. It also means avoid worry or fear. For the Bible says in Job 3:25, and I want you to hear me clearly with this. In Job 3:25, it says, "The worst of my fears has come true. What I've dreaded most has happened." In Job 3:25, it tells you that what you fear shall come upon you. You know why? Because your fear is vibrating out and you're attracting it back to you. You are vibing it out, therefore it is going to vibe in. Job 3:25 says, "The worst of my fears has come true. What I've dreaded most has happened." It's all a systematic process, people. It will happen because it was designed to be that way. The universal laws are laws that were put in place to govern us, to govern the universe. And so they happen, whether you believe it or not. It's designed to happen that way. So I want you to go about your day feeling good so that you can send out good vibrations and good energy. And by doing this, the universal law of vibration works in conjunction with the law of attraction and the law of abundance to make you a magnetic force to attract more of the same. And so some of those good feelings that I want you to go about feeling every single day, those feelings are love and hope and compassion and kindness and gratitude, joy and peace. Be thankful. Have a grateful heart. Be kind to others. Laugh more. Love more. Hang around people and places and things that make you feel good. Remember, laughter is good medicine. It works wonders. So when checking your vibe, be sure that it is exhilarating and that your vibe is exuberant. Release that good energy out into the world. You'll be surprised how it begins to manifest in your life constantly and on a consistent basis. For you, my lures, are magnetic forces. And so the question becomes, what are you attracting to you? Huh? What are you attracting? I want you to stop right now and check your vibe again. What are you attracting? Vibe out, vibe in. Check your vibe. So, that's the end of this segment. I hope that I gave you a better understanding of what I mean by vibe out, vibe in. And I really hope that you begin to pay attention to what you're thinking and what you're feeling, because they are powerful. Even the words that you speak, pay attention to what you say. Don't say something that you don't want to manifest. And we're going to talk about that on another episode. I'm going to talk about those words that you speak, the words that come out of your mouth. And yeah, we're going to dive into that, because sometimes I'm just amazed at the things that people say. And then when something happens, they're like, "Well, how did that happen?" Because you spoke it. Words are powerful. Words come to life. And so do your thoughts and your feelings when they are combined together. So remember, everything that you think, everything that you feel, and everything that you speak, you are asking for it to manifest. You are asking for the manifestation of those things in your life. So remember, check your vibe. Vibe out, vibe in. Know what you want, know what you feel, what you think, what you speak will bring you what you want. So stay aware of it, stay conscious, stay woke, and I love you, and until we meet again, check your vibe. Hello. Welcome to Abundance Allure, the audio diary where I, along with my seasoned sisters, my Abundance Allurers from all walks of life, can discuss topics that speak to matters of our hearts as they relate to attracting and receiving life and all of its abounding joy and strength for our spirit, soul, and body. I am your host, Abundance Nisi.